Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Hi there, it's the analyst Inside Cricket, looking back at the second day of the 1,000th Test match, England's 1,000th Test match, and what a day it's been. I think, Simon, we've seen one of the great Test innings today.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Graham Smith played a brilliant innings here for South Africa to win a Test series and end Michael Vaughan's captaincy of England.
Yeah.
This innings by Kohli was up there. It was of that quality. Basically, taking his whole side forward, 149. The next highest scorer was Shikhar Dhawan with 26. 149 out of 274. And he's given India a fantastic chance in the game. They open with Ashwin. Ashwin's got rid of Cook. England have got six more left-handers of their 10 batsmen available to them. You feel it could be big problems for them. I think the right-handers are going to be crucial on the third day. You know, the likes of Butler and Bairstow and Root.
Yeah, and you know, as the two captains go, Kohli has just produced three aces, maybe even four aces already. Firstly, the run out of Root in the first innings, then this incredible century, and twice bringing on Ashwin early in the innings and getting rid of Alistair Cook. I mean, what an inspired move it was in the first innings, and then he repeated it again today. So it's been a remarkable game for Kohli, completely exorcising the demons he had from 4 years ago. And I thought the innings had so many interesting phases. I mean, obviously the duel between Kohli and Anderson was the sort of essence of the day, really. And I mean, Anderson gave him absolutely nothing. Do you know Kohli didn't strike him for a single authentic boundary? He scored two fours off Anderson, but both of them were off the edge. One was the one that just didn't carry to Johnny Bairstow and ricocheted down for four to third man, and the other one was the one that Joss Butler got a finger to, which flew for four down to third man as well. But other than that, Anderson conceded 18 runs in all. Other than that, just 10 runs off the bowling of Anderson from 74 deliveries.
Yeah, well,
no, 12 overs where he gave him only 10 runs and then two falls off the edge. I mean, remarkable.
And the drop catch. We must talk about England's catching, because that was an important aspect of the day's play. Yeah. Two drop catches. Kohli dropped on 21 by David Malan, and you wonder what he must be feeling tonight. I mean, not only is he one of those left-handers that got to come and face Ashwin tomorrow, but he's under pressure, test average of 29, and today his drop catch has cost England over 120 runs. And the other aspect to it was a pretty straightforward catch as slip catches go. I mean, then no slip catch is easy, but I mean, as they come, that was as straightforward as you'd like.
And it's the one chance that Kohli gave. I don't really count that one to Butler as a chance. I don't think even Superman could have caught that. Mm. So that was the one genuine opportunity England had, and Anderson had really worked for it. You know, the way that Anderson bowled to Kohli, just outside off stump, a little bit movement either way, Kohli trying to leave it, trying not to be drawn into playing it, basically defending very well, occasionally playing and missing, but that kind of, you know, mesmerising duel between them, which Kohli was winning until that drop catch and then eventually did win because Anderson couldn't find another way through, was part of that brilliant innings. Then there was a phase where he took on the short balls of Ben Stokes, and I love the way he steered the ball. You know, when you look at his wagon wheel, you'll look at in many past Coley hundreds. You see a lot of shots through extra cover, through mid-off, on flat pitches. But here he knew he couldn't play that shot, so he'd have to wait for the ball a little bit longer and steer it square of the wicket or behind the wicket. Very much like, actually, Kumar Sangakkara, who changed his technique completely when he came and played in England against Anderson in particular, and said, forget about trying to play straight, as the old cliche goes. When the ball is swinging, you play late and square. You go with the swing, go with the ball, and play it square of the wicket. And I mean, Kohli did that brilliantly today.
Yeah. What will England like to set in you? I mean, they could be under severe pressure, third innings pressure. Ashwin bowling to those left-handers, a bit of roughness, some turn out there as well, some turn off the main part of the pitch. What will England, what sort of score will England feel they're in the game with in their third innings?
Well, if you look at the two scores in the first two innings, 280 to 300, I mean, you were right, that probably 280 to 300 is about a par score. Maybe 320, but the class of the bowling is higher than the class of the batting, Kohli accepted. So 300 is that sort of tricky score. And if you look at that, we mentioned it yesterday, if you look at that amazing 2005 test here, the one that England won by two runs, Australia chased 280 to win. That sort of score, 280 to 300, you know, that's going to be hard. Anything over 300, out of the question. But sort of 250 plus, I think that's what England have to score. 250, 260 to 300 to make it difficult. Thing is, I don't think the pitch is going to get any worse. But it's obviously a little bit harder to drive the ball and dictate terms against good bowling than perhaps it looks. I was trying to describe to an Indian journalist what the pitch is like. And I said it's a bit like the hair on a teddy bear, you know, very short hair, but you can't really see it, and it doesn't look very live, but it just helps the ball to just grip a little bit against master operators like Anderson.
Well, what sort of chance of England getting that sort of score then?
Yeah, well, good question.
250 plus.
They should. I mean, they should be able to, because honestly, India haven't got the master forensic examiner that Anderson is.
They've got good
seamers, but Ashwin is going to be the key. Yeah. So, as you pointed out, England's left-handers are going to have trouble. So they've got to try and make sure they get right-handers on strike to Ashwin, and the left-handers face the seamers. And if people stay in and make the Indians work really hard for their wickets, England can get 300. But they've got to play well.
I think the frustrating thing from an England's perspective, and in that dressing room and England supporters as well, is they've had two magnificent opportunities in the game. 216 for 3 on the first day. India were 100 for 5. They dropped two catches. It would have been 100 for 7. And 100 for 7, that's just about game over, especially as one of them was Kohli. You get a lead of 150 or even 100 on that pitch, then you really should go on and win the game. Now it's in the balance. And that delivery from Ashwin just before the close of play to get rid of Cook, it's bound to have an effect on the dressing room, isn't it?
And of course, Alistair Cook dropped a slip catch as well, so he's under pressure. A number of batsmen under pressure. Malan obviously is as well. So, you know, Jennings has got to try and assert himself. It's going to be really difficult for England. I mean, they will look back, I think, on that 92 runs garnered for the last two wickets with a little bit of concern, because well as Kohli played, I'm not sure England quite got their tactics right. And in a way, it's hard to put your finger on exactly where it went wrong, but I don't think they had enough fielders on the boundary to Kohli, because he kept finding the boundary.
Yeah, well, one of the problems with cricket, when you've got a player like Kohli in, who's, you know, obviously a class player, and he was in as well, is when you stop trying to get one batsman out, then you often get into trouble. They basically wanted to bowl it, well, first Ishant Sharma, and then in that last wicket partnership, Umesh Yadav. And Kohli is so skillful, he was able to manoeuvre it. So they didn't bowl that many deliveries at Yadav. They only bowled 16 balls at him out of a stand of 74 balls. And that only happened late on, those six balls, because he faced one over from Ben Stokes and played it pretty efficiently. I just wonder about those tactics. When you look back, when you stop trying to get a player out, I know they've been trying to get him out for a long time, but I mean, they had caused him problems. They had, you know, he had played and missed, he'd nicked up and was dropped a couple of times, or how do you see it from a bowling perspective?
Well, I agree with you completely, but I think you've either got to go one extreme or the other. Either you've got to put everybody on the boundary, with maybe just one or two people saving one on either side, or you go with a fairly conventional field and just say the odd boundary fielder. Yeah. But I think England went sort of neither one nor the other. There were sort of four boundary fielders until that ridiculous over when Stokes bowled, and I think he had seven men on the leg side boundary. and two men a slip and a cover point, nobody in front of the wicket on the offside, which was a slightly mad feel. But apart from that, I thought England just went between two stools. They didn't go for either one approach, which is loads of men on the boundary, or actually an orthodox field and still try to hold them out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Difficult balance
it is. It's really hard for a captain when you've got a bit of license. Cody's got a bit of license to play in that situation and to manoeuvre it. And it gets frustrating because you feel you're almost through, and then it takes a long time because you have to bowl four balls and over, then bring the field in. That's one way of doing it. And then it gets frustrating if the batsman does manage to get a single off the last ball and he faces the start of the next over. That's Cody, the man that's in, and it sort of drags it out. It drags the energy out of the bowling side as well. I mean, look at Stokes towards the end, he looked really tired. But actually, Stokes today, I thought this afternoon, magnificent bowling, swung the ball at pace, and he really looked good.
And of course, Sam Curran, we haven't mentioned either. The early inroads from him, he seemed to up his pace and bowled a great full length. I must admit, when we talked about the possibilities for this test match, I thought Sam Curran might be someone who get wickets because it's a lowish pitch and he bowls full and sort of skids it. And he skidded it into the pads and into the stumps and was really effective and deserved his early wickets. I suppose he looked a little bit less potent towards the end with an older ball. You know, that's where he's perhaps a little bit exposed. His lack of height or his lack of pace maybe makes him less of a threat. But he was impressive today and just showed the advantage of a different angle, actually, and a little bit of late swing. But, you know, he's going to have to do the job again in the second innings.
In the future, Sam Curran, if he bowls like that for the next 2, 3, 4 years, can he survive at this level? I mean, if it doesn't swing, can he survive? Or would you expect him, as he gets older, to put on a little bit more pace? To be able to bowl at 85 or 84, every now and again, more consistently?
I must admit, I sort of rather dismissed him after the Pakistan test at Headingley, where I just thought he looked innocuous. But here, he's looked better because I think he's a bit more confident. He's had a bit more bowling, playing mainly one-day cricket. But he's probably feeling a little bit more part of it, having played a test match, got his debut out of the way. And he went for it a bit more today and really went for that full length. The ball was swinging. I think if it doesn't swing, he's not going to be very effective. But if you think of how well someone like Chaminda Vaas did for Sri Lanka over many years, similar kind of bowler, similar sort of pace, similar sort of trajectory, did very effectively.
But taller and physically stronger?
Yeah, not really. I mean, he's quite a wiry sort of strength, Sam Curran. So I don't think Chaminda Vaas was much different. And he took a lot of test wickets. So I think he will have to work out a way of bowling with an older ball to be more effective and find sort of reverse swing or maybe vary his pace or vary his position on the crease or something just to try different things. Because, flat test pitch with an older ball, you do need something a bit extra, which at the moment he hasn't got. But, certainly with a newish ball, he was really impressive today.
Well, it could have been England's day, most emphatically, and England did open up a few doubts in that Indian batting. Yeah. I mean, if it's all about ifs, isn't it? A lot of sport is about ifs. If Kohli had been caught on 21, then that would have been problems for him and problems for the collective Indian batting lineup, because they did struggle. Only Dharma making 26, as I mentioned, was the next top score. And there was some pretty unconvincing cricket at times. I mean, Rahane, really struggled in that afternoon session.
Well, KL Rahul, just straight out, second ball, terrible shot. I thought Darwin
and Darwin as well against Curran. His mind seemed scrambled. He saw the ball swing and he couldn't deal with it.
I mean, without it's England v Kohli, isn't it, at the moment? Without Kohli, they would have had absolutely nothing. I mean, that innings, it's probably not quite as great as the Graham Gooch 150 against the West Indies or a Lara 150 not out to chase down a winning score against Sri Lanka or against the West or against Australia. But I mean, it's up there. It's up there with the best 20 innings ever played in Test cricket, I think, because of the challenge of facing the England bowlers on that particular pitch, because of the inadequacy of the Indian batting otherwise, and just because of its poise, its style, its different phases, its amazing self-confidence and belief and authority, as well as its range. It was just fabulous.
So, Ashwin, the threat for England on the third day, is it sort of Ashwin or bust as far as India are concerned? Obviously, there'll be some support from the others as well, but is there anyone else that can...
Shami. Mohammed Shami, he's got that extra pace. It's difficult to pick him up sometimes. He's a sort of slippery bowler. Cook wasn't sighting him in that first couple of overs. He could be a threat as well. I'd say those two, really. If England can see off Mohammed Shami, I think the other two seamers are manageable, and then the right-handers have got to get get into Ashwin and stop him from taking a big haul of wickets. But he's looking quite dangerous.
Well, the thousandth Test match, and so far, I mean, it has been riveting. It's not been perfect. I mean, in a way, we talked to, coming into this Test match, about the flaws in both sides and also the quality of both sides. You know, we looked at players like Root and we looked at players like Kohli, but also you need to look at the holes in the two teams, the sort of fallibility of India's batting, some of the holes in England's batting, their catching as well. And so it's proved what it has done is it's made for a potentially really exciting game. What you don't want now, well, I mean, India supporters probably do, England just to fall on the heap, be bowled out for 120 and India to knock them off. What you want is something like England scoring about 250 and then a real tense struggle in that fourth innings to get them.
Absolutely right. And tomorrow will be the wonderful opportunity for Joe Root to really prove to everyone what he's made of, and he can counter that brilliant century of Kohli's with one of his own. We'll see if it happens. Look forward to talking to you again after the third day's play. Thanks for listening. Sports Social Podcast Network.